It's time now for Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that shares stories from inspiring people, from a wide range of expert guests, all focused on helping you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. Gina Gardner is a multiple number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, business coach, and trainer. She's the founder of Genuinely You and has over 30 years' experience of helping people step into their genuine, authentic power, personally and professionally.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now, here's your host, Gina Gardner.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's episode of Gina Gardner and Friends. And today I am joined by a lady who has experienced probably a parent's worst nightmare. She is the mum of a cancer survivor. Her son, Logan, born in 2017, was diagnosed with a congenital glioblastoma, I think that's how you pronounce it, at just 3.5 months old. And only imagine how that must have just struck terror in your heart. They were told several times he wouldn't survive, that he would never walk or talk. However, he's proved them wrong. He runs circles around them, and he turned 5 last November, I'm very happy to say. He has some developmental delays, speech delays, and not eating by mouth. But I'm sure, as is his mum, that with time and with her attention and her devotion, that he is going to make great progress. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I understand how it is when parents get a terrible diagnosis. My sister has 2 profoundly disabled boys who were quite normal to start with, but have a very rare genetic disorder. And I know that the news for them was absolutely devastating. I don't want to dwell on it, but just share with us the journey that you've had with Logan, because I think there are many people out there who are struggling with life. And this certainly puts things in perspective. Or if they're parents who are facing the same difficulty, I know that yours is a story of hope.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey, to say the least. Just a couple of quick corrections. He was born in 2016, so November of 2016.
Right.
And then he was diagnosed in March of 2017, and he just turned 6. So I know it's been a while since we've spoken. But, you know, I always wanted to be a mom. I didn't meet my husband until later in life and didn't get married until I was 38. We started to try to have a baby, got a little help from the doctors, and we got pregnant with Logan immediately. So when he was born, it was just a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm. However, because of my age, I was 40 years old when I was pregnant. So they called it a geriatric pregnancy.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't like the term, but I did like the fact that it came with extra ultrasounds. So they were actually monitoring Logan's kidneys when I was pregnant. He had an enlarged kidney that they said is normally fixes itself or can require, you know, a minor surgery when he's born. However, at the last ultrasound, his kidneys were fine and they noticed fluid on his brain, which then prompted them to have me go in for an emergency MRI, which was a week later. And then I went to the hospital the next day and had an emergency C-section. So the day he was born really started all of these what ifs. So when the day he was born, we were told he might have a deadly platelet disorder. And I said to the doctor, I had a few choice words for the doctor.
We won't go there.
But I said, you know, I didn't wait until I was 40 to have my first child for you to tell me there's something wrong and he's not going to survive. So I basically said, get him out and fix him. So the NICU doctor came in and he's like, look, we don't know what it is. Let's just get him out. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So the only thing I wanted was for him to scream, right? When I had the emergency section. And sure enough, this kid came out kicking and screaming. So he spent 5 days in NICU and they tested him for anything and everything you can imagine. He had a neurosurgeon, an oncologist, a neurologist, a developmental pediatrician, dozens of doctors checking him. And they all just concluded that, okay, it's just a birth defect. We'll monitor it ended up being a brain bleed. So we'll monitor the brain bleed. So come back in 6 weeks, went back in 6 weeks, the brain bleed was dissipating. Great. Let's start physical therapy just to get ahead of it. See you in 3 months. So we went back in 3 months, and on March 8th of 2017, the brain bleed was gone and a tumor, the third of the size of my son's head, was there. So they immediately admitted him. They again told us, we're so sorry. We don't think there's anything we can do. This is, you know, a deadly brain tumor. At the time, they didn't know what kind it was. They sent it to Boston. He got a craniotomy, so they did a biopsy. Yep. They sent it to Boston, New York City, and Atlanta, Georgia to figure out what type of tumor it was, to see what type of treatment plan there could be. And he ended up being diagnosed with a congenital glioblastoma. So the best way, the easiest way to describe that is it's the worst type of brain tumor you can have, being a glioblastoma. But being that it was congenital, he got it at the best time in his life.
Can you explain to the people who are listening or watching this later on, why is it it's the worst and the best? It's, you know, you're told it's the worst.
Right. Yeah. So a glioblastoma is a deadly brain tumor. So typical cancers so brain tumors are graded, right, and other cancers are staged.
Okay.
The good thing, and I use air quotes, about brain tumors is that they typically don't metastasize anywhere else in the body.
Right.
So they stay centrally located. The bad thing about a glioblastoma is the only way they typically do treatment is radiation. The other bad thing is they don't radiate under the age of 3. My son was 3.5 months. So that's the bad part. The good part being that it was congenital was that, A, he was born with it, obviously, and it had different mutations. So chemotherapy could work.
Okay.
Alongside the fact that when we're children, when we're babies, our bodies are constantly growing and maturing to fight off diseases, right? That's how we learn when we're younger, to fight the common cold, to fight the flu. Our body doesn't know any different but to fight and adapt.
Okay.
So that's the best part about it. So when they diagnosed him with the congenital glioblastoma, their response to me was, we're cautiously optimistic. And I was like, all right, let's go. So we spent the better part of 6 months living in the hospital. He underwent 6 rounds of chemotherapy in the hospital. After the second round of chemotherapy, they were actually able to shrink the tumor in half.
Goodness.
Which was amazing. And the neurosurgeon, and again, going back to his date of birth, we've had the same doctors his entire life.
That has to be an advantage, doesn't it? That they know
huge,
you know them. And
huge advantage. Yeah. They know my son. They know how my husband and I operate. It's very beneficial. They were able to remove 95% of the tumor with surgery.
And yet to start with, you'd been told that they wouldn't be able to operate on that type of tumor.
No. We were told there was, you know, no hope at all. So from going to, we're so sorry, there's nothing we can do, to removing 95% of the tumor and chemo getting the rest, they basically dubbed him the miracle child of the hospital. So he
interrupt you. Can I just check what you're saying? Because I think it's really important for our listeners to recognize the magnitude of this this improvement. So 95% of the tumor was removed by surgery. And correct. You say that chemo had effectively eradicated the other 5%?
Correct. And the chemo had eradicated enough of the tumor to have it shrink enough for them to be able to do the surgery.
Right. Okay.
Because it was so, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you it was a third of the size of its head. Huge.
Wow.
I mean, and when you think of a baby, I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, when going back to when you're talking about good and bad, one of the things that strikes me is that the brains of very tiny children are a bit like porridge, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And the neural pathways are developed as you do things and as you correct. Grow. Mm-hmm. And so given there must have been significant collateral damage just by the space being taken up, let alone the surgery and the yes. chemo, that at least one has the opportunity to train the brain and retrain the bits that were already structured.
Exactly. And that's exactly why we were told, you know, even if he did survive, he may never walk, he may never talk, he may never eat, because those were the damaged portions of the brain that either the tumor attacked or that was removed. So we were told several times he would never walk. And I say that half jokingly because he doesn't, he runs.
Right.
So it's an amazing thing to say. He's still working on his language and speech, but even his developmental pediatrician 2 years ago, you know, was retelling us, you know, I don't think he's ever going to talk. And then within a matter of a month, she's like, forget I said that.
I'm going to stop you because we're going to go to a short break, because what I'd like to spend the next portion of the show talking about is how you managed that time from him coming out of surgery and recognizing that you've got this small child who's been through more than anybody ought to, and how you pick yourself up, because I'm sure it's not been plain sailing.
No.
And that you've supported your child to become the best physically and mentally that he can be, given what a shaky start he's had. And I think for many people listening to this, it's a lesson not only for people who have illness or disability, but actually the resilience of you. It's up to you to get on with living your life and making the best life you can. 100%. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute.
Those were the days. A little risk never scared us. It's your life. Pants tight, plans loose. We'd cruise down drags with our favorite bands. Bought good times with loose quarters. And every night, we had standing dates with the same friends. Life was simpler back then. We hustled, we bumped, we bus stopped, and we smoked all the time. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Visit screenyourlungs.org today.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 30% off great gifts for any mom and 15% off beauty, plus chef specials. Now at Macy's.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Jennifer Hendricks-Fogg, whose son was diagnosed with a catastrophic brain tumor at the age of 3.5 months. And before the break, we were talking about the fact that against all the odds, the miracle child survived. However, I'm sure it was not like, you know, the Cinderella story where somebody came with a wand and went poof and everything was magically okay. I'm sure his progress represents a huge amount of work on yours and your husband's and the professional's part in supporting your son. So talk us through the journey that Logan had from that the point where you recognized that the tumor was dealt with, that you have then got to deal with all of the aftermath of the tumor and of the treatment.
So going through the treatment with our son and the diagnosis, he went through treatment for just about 2.5 years, again, living in the hospital for a long period of time. So not only did we have to deal with the tragedy of going through a cancer diagnosis with a baby, but we also experienced the tragedy of normalcy with a newborn. Mm-hmm. I will never know what it's like to have and I use it in air quotes, right? A normal child, but nobody signs up for this. This is not something you're like, oh, pick me, right? It's just, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. My husband and I are very spiritual people. We're very positive people in the regard of, we believe in you get what you give. You get what you believe, you get what you put out there. And, you know, several times, dozens of times throughout our journey, we were told the worst case scenario, not just the day he was born, not just the day he was diagnosed, but even through his surgeries, you know, when he had the two major craniotomies, when they were removing the tumor, he could have had a seizure. He could have bled out. He could have been paralyzed. You know, we're sitting in waiting rooms for 10, 12, 14 hours while our 4-month, 5-month old child is having brain surgery. So the irony of our journey is, there's a few ironies, is my middle name is Faith. And the biggest irony of that is my father's actually an atheist and my mother was born and raised Catholic. And I was baptized Lutheran because that's what my dad was. And through our journey, I believed in the power of prayer. We shared our story. We had a huge social media following and I developed a stronger faith for that religion. And I actually converted to Catholic through our journey. And the additional irony is, as I mentioned to you earlier, I work for Aflac, which is a supplemental insurance company here in the United States. We offer cancer policies to help offset those expenses if someone's diagnosed. So I had the cancer policy on my son when he was born. And Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Georgia, is one of the places they sent his biopsy to, mm-hmm. is owned by Aflac, and they wrote my son's treatment plan. So there's a huge synergy and a huge, I get the chills even just sharing that right now, because again, I'm a firm believer in the power of the universe. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And my husband and I truly believe that our son chose us because he knew that we could get him through this. And even his medical team will tell you that more of the reason our son is here today is because of me and my husband.
You know, that's a really strong lesson. And I think it's worth sort of really pushing that. I've been working with a neighbor who's a really lovely friend. He's at the other end of the spectrum. He's 80, but he was incredibly fit, cycled 40, 50 miles several times a week, who within a week could not turn himself over in bed. They don't know what it is, but we've been working. I've been going in twice a day since he came out of hospital in October, and he's been really positive about the fact that he wants to walk. And the day before New Year, he walked unaided for the first time.
That's amazing.
And today he walked three quarters, and we live in very long bungalows. So he walked 3/4 of the length of the house unaided. I mean, we were close by and he had his walker.
Sure.
But I know for myself, I've learned to walk twice as an adult following ski accident and failed back surgery, how having faith that things will be okay and taking the action to make them okay. Because for me, I think faith by itself is limited in terms of the outcome. But when you combine it with really practical, consistent action, mm-hmm. then you get miracles.
Agreed. And through our journey, I've developed what I like to call my steps to resilience, I guess.
Okay.
And my three-step process to being resilient is, one, survive, right? You just have to get through it.
Yeah.
You just have to get up and, for lack of a better cliche, put your big girl panties on and handle it, right? You just got to get up and do it every day. And then the third part is thrive, right? That's when you get over it and you're excelling and exceeding. But I feel like a lot of people miss the middle part, which mm-hmm. is my step two, which is recover.
Yes.
You have to accept what you went through.
Yeah.
You have to understand that it's not going to last forever. And you have to push yourself through, like exactly what you said, faith plus action is maximum results. I love that. And survive, recover, and thrive. It's my three-step process. And you know what? We're all living one of those steps on a daily basis, and it could be in different aspects of your life regardless.
Definitely.
I think it's important just to recognize that. I think people are so focused on, oh, I've gone through this, and oh, I'm excelling at this. But it's like, what are you doing in the meantime?
Yeah.
Between those two spectrums to continue living.
And I think there's a huge difference between existing and living. I've just finished creating a series for people with long-term illness and disability, a series of videos, and it's sharing just some of the very practical approaches. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I believe your mindset, you know, what you believe, what you focus on, all make a huge difference to your capacity to recover. And if you're talking about little children, then you have to do it for them until they can do it for themselves. You know, what strikes me is, you know, had your son been born to different parents who were very accepting that, well, what can you do? Or didn't have the insurance to have access to the best doctors, the outcome could have been very different and is very likely to have been very different.
And you're 100% true. And for a while, people would be like, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, well, you would do it too. And then I got to thinking, and then I was seeing other families, and I'm like, no, they don't.
No.
To your point, you're exactly right. And I've got a perfect example. There was a little boy that's a month older than my son, who also had a brain tumor, different type of tumor, mm-hmm. whose parents were never there at the hospital, who the nurses would have to cuddle him and walk around with him all the time because the parents weren't, like, there were times where I wanted to just go over there and hold him, but obviously you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
But it was so upsetting, and it was heartbreaking to see. And he's survived as well. However, my son, as I mentioned, we were told to never walk, whatever. He runs circles, is crazy guy. This young boy, again, a month older than my son, still can't sit up on his own. Can't even sit up on his own. Has an assisted chair to do so. So you're 100% right in that he was born to the right parents. And again, every time I see my son, my son's one doctor, his oncologist, she says to me, remember that time I told you he wouldn't X? She's like, what the hell was I thinking? You know, like, and she'll admit it. And she tells us all the time that he's here today because of us. And it took me a long time to understand that, but he really is here because of who me and my husband are.
We're going to have to go to a second break, but when we come back, one of the things that I believe very strongly is that our experiences are, a classroom to teach us in a way that we can then help other people. And one of the reasons I invited you onto the show is that you've used your experiences to support and help other people. So don't go away. We're going to use the last bit of the show to explore just how Jennifer is helping other people. See you in a minute.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 30% off great gifts for any mom and 15% off beauty. Plus chef specials. Now at Macy's.
Welcome back. As you will have listened, Jennifer and her husband and Logan have been through a pretty traumatic journey. And yet one of the things that strikes me, Jennifer, is that you are very together, very positive. If you're listening to this, she's incredibly smiley. If you're watching the video on YouTube, then you'll understand what I'm saying. But here is a lady who has taken what life has thrown at her, and she's owned it. And she has made a decision that she's going to do things in a way that will give Logan the best chance in life. And I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
It's incredible.
Thank you.
But I know now that you are helping other people. Can
yes.
you explain how you're helping other people?
Yeah. So through our journey, obviously I've lived it. I've seen it. I've seen the best and the worst. I've unfortunately had several, children not make it through our journey. So we created the Logan Strong Foundation. So the Logan Strong Foundation supports children and their families battling a childhood cancer diagnosis. So we provide those families with online stores for fundraising, so they can design their own shirt. They can, have hats or mugs or something like that, where they can, raise awareness, but also raise funds as well while they're going through their difficult time. We also provide bracelets to our families. So we've got these bracelets that we give to our families. Again, just another fundraising item. We also provide, we have these no touching signs. It says, "No touching, your germs are too big for me."
Oh,
and, somebody had gifted Logan with one, and I just thought it was a genius idea, because everybody wants to touch the baby, but you can't touch baby that's going through chemo. So we give those to the kids. We provide items of comfort and support. So if, we've had some families that maybe have to go to New York City for their treatment. So we have them create like a wish list on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And we purchase anything they want on their wish list to make their stay better. Or we recently just helped a family with Christmas. We also provide gift cards to not only our families, but also to our local hospital. Because when families are staying in the hospital, they don't want to eat hospital food all the time, right? There's a lot of restaurants around, or we'll give them gas cards. We also have installed one of the biggest things that happened when the day Logan was diagnosed, I'll never forget. We were going to the doctors for a doctor's appointment. We weren't expecting to stay, and neither my husband or I had a cell phone charger on us. So he actually had to run across the street to the CVS and get a cell phone charger. So one of the things that we've done in lieu of our journey is we've installed cell phone charging stations in different areas of the local hospital.
I'm very conscious of time. I know you wrote a book for Logan's fifth birthday, I believe. Just explain to people the title and where they can find it.
Yes, Tiny Miracles. It is available on Amazon. It's a mother's journey of finding faith through childhood cancer.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you for listening. Do tune in, because just by tuning in, you are helping people. We donate meals on the basis of the number of listeners. And I'd love to know how you're doing. What's your story? Love for you to contact me. Go and have a look, and please subscribe to my YouTube channel. You'll find all of the details there. That's Genuinely You with Gina Gardiner. Thanks so much for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that helps you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. To learn more about Gina Gardner, go to genuinely-you.com. If you would like to work with Gina or book her as a speaker, email her at gina@genuinely-you.com.